Welcome to Illuminated Lamb, where we discuss the themes of Christ and light as found in the scriptures. If you're following us on YouTube, please comment, share, like, and subscribe. It really helps our placement in the YouTube algorithm. Recently, I have been revisiting a book that I read a few years ago. It's entitled Man of Sorrows, King of Glory, What the Humiliation and Exaltation of Jesus Mean for Us by John T. Rhodes. The book processes through the two phases of Christ's existence as a human upon his incarnation. The first phase is what could be called a time of humiliation or humbling. It's the life of Christ from the time of his conception, his birth, his life during those first 33 years here on earth, and then his eventual suffering and his death on the cross. Now, do keep in mind that the way that we use the word humiliation in our culture is more the sense of degrading somebody. In older terms, it was the humbling of someone. However, with Christ's experience, the death he had on the cross was not only a humbling experience, it was a humiliating experience. So both terms would apply in this case. So that's phase one of Christ's human existence, his incarnation. The second phase is what happens upon his resurrection. He's no longer subject to death. He's now accomplished the mission which his Father gave him on earth to pay for the sins of his people. He is now going to be ascended back into heaven. He is going to become our permanent great high priest. And he is now in his phase two of existence, living a very exalted existence with his Father and with the Holy Spirit. Something that when I was reading through John T. Rhodes' book about this made me think about it. I heard an observation from a Christian thinker that said that if you take a look at the books of the New Testament, you'll actually see a reflection of Christ's humiliation or the humbling and the exaltation, depending on where you're reading. If the text is dealing primarily with Christ in his pre-exaltation stage, while he's still in his time before his death and resurrection, that you're going to see that the references to Christ in those books, primarily the Gospels, are going to reflect a not as exalted way of addressing who Jesus is. And then as you take a look at the writings that happen afterward in Acts and the epistles, you're going to find that the way that the Lord Jesus is being referred to is in a far more exalted and honored means of being presented. I thought it would be an interesting thing to do a case study on two of the writings of the New Testament. One of them is the Gospel of Luke. The other one is Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We see an interesting case study here in the way that Luke writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. What I did was to go through the Gospel of Luke, and I was looking for references that Luke makes to Jesus. And I'm not looking so much as the way that people were addressing him. I'm not looking at the way that when you see the quotes of the people who were speaking to him, or even the Lord Jesus's quotes about himself, where, for example, he refers to himself, I think it's about 23 times in the Gospel of Luke, as Son of Man, a very specific tie back to the title that is found in Daniel chapter 7. What I'm looking at to have a more apples and apples comparison here is, again, looking at what Luke as a writer says in terms of naming Christ. How does he assign a title or a name to him? And looking for the same thing in the letter to the Ephesians. So when you take a look at the Gospel of Luke, you will find that the Lord Jesus is referred to merely by the name Jesus 91 times. As Christ, one time. As Lord, 8 times. You also find that he's referred to as the Lord's Christ one time. And interestingly enough, he is referred to as the Lord Jesus one time in the Gospel of Luke. And I think it's significant to note that in that reference, it's a reference to the Lord Jesus after he is resurrected, not before. So even then, you find the beginnings of a more honored way of addressing who Christ is, found even in the Gospel of Luke. So if we're running percentages here, I counted up that there were 102 references that we need to take a look at, and in 89.22% of them, we find that the references are overwhelmingly to Jesus, just by the name Jesus. Compare this to the letter to the Ephesians. We find that Jesus is referred to as Jesus, just by that name itself, only one time out of 63 references. You'll find that he's referred to as Christ 28 times, Christ Jesus 10 times, Christ Jesus our Lord one time, Jesus Christ one time, Lord 14 times, Lord Jesus one time, Lord Jesus Christ six times, and Son of God one time. So, in the letter to the Ephesians, we find references to Jesus only by that name one out of 63 times, something on the order of 1.59%. I want to bring this up because I think that there are times that we can forget that the Lord Jesus Christ in his current state right now in heaven, I mean, take a look at whatever calendar or watch or whatever way you're keeping track of time is, and note that on this day and at this time, the Lord Jesus is sitting in heaven as the intercessor for his people in an exalted state as he is awaiting his return to earth at some point in our future. I just wanted you to be able to have a few more tools as you're reading through the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament, and you can see how the exaltation or the humiliation of Christ is actually reflected in the way that the authors write about him. I think it's one of those ways that we can see a little bit further into the mindset of the Holy Spirit in the way that he would have us to understand Christ in his two different phases, humiliation and also an exaltation. In Acts chapter 2, verses 30 through 32, we read, "Being therefore a prophet," speaking of King David, "and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." I want us to understand that as we're reading Scripture, we're seeing Scripture itself reflect the state of Christ. He has lived a humble life, as we have, and we are living now. He is now living in his exalted state. And I think it's a reminder for us, for those of us who are believers, is that while we will never achieve godhood, we will achieve a sense of exaltation. Scripture promises that those of us who are, and if we take a look at what is called the golden chain of salvation in the book of Romans, we'll see the following. Romans chapter 8, verse 30, we read, "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." For us who are followers of Christ, after this life that has been a very humbling life, as we understand it, perhaps for many of us, it has been a life of humiliation, even meant in the current modern sense. But after all this, in the future, we await a glorification. We expect and await an exaltation that is going to come at the hands of Christ. I think that there are times that we forget that the experience that Christ has had in terms of his resurrection and his exaltation is something that is going to await us as well. Scripture says that when Christ is revealed, we will be revealed with him in glory, that there's an exaltation that awaits for us as well. So what I encourage you to do when you're reading through the New Testament, read through and note those sections that speak about Christ's humiliation, and also speak about his exaltation, because we await a time of glorification and exaltation as well. So I would like to leave that with you, and I will see you on the next podcast.